Leathers and his wife back with us this morning. He's one of our family. He's part of our missionary family, serving with Beams. I think he said 4,000 miles in this last little bit, up and down the highways around this country, telling people about the Lord, serving the Lord. He too was in camp. He gives me hope, amen. I'm thinking, brother, I was thinking there's a retirement to camp, but then he ruins it because he tells me he's at camp. No, but they've just come out of camp themselves, had a good week there. I think they said they had four saves, something like that. So praise the Lord for that. One called to the mission field, so thank the Lord for that. You come on, Brother Leathers, just preach to us. Don't worry about that. That clock back there is really not right. It's just not. In Peru, it's just 11 o'clock.
Yeah. Thank you, Pastor. How wonderful, wonderful to be with you again. You're, as I said last week, you're a very special church, and we appreciate you so much. And thank you for all that you do for Beams. Yeah, I know many of you support Beams personally, and you do as a church. You support us, and you pray for us, and we really do appreciate it. We do not take that lightly. We do not. And how wonderful it is just to be able to be in the service of the Lord. What a privilege it is. Responsibility, too. And hell, and someday we're going to be held accountable in what we do. I trust indeed that you be found faithful. Still only $8 a box. I mean, $8. I wish it were $8 a box. $8 a Bible to raise the money for Bibles, but it's getting more and more difficult to get them sent out to the world. You know, our U.S. government needs so much help. And the U.S. Postal Service needs a lot of help. A lot of help. And every year they raise the postage. This year, this box went up $12. And I don't know what's going to be next year. But Lord's good. Lord's got all the money. And we still challenge. We had 150 boxes of these when we started. I only have 9 left for you folks. I'm sorry, I don't have more. $59.95. All you have to do is take it to the post office, pay the postage, and they're on their way. People are waiting for them.
Right.
Missionaries need them, and we appreciate your faithfulness in doing that. A couple of you want to go together, pay for it, go ahead.
Right.
And if you want to take one by faith, expect God to provide for it, that's a good way to do it. Three times in the New Testament, just shall live by faith. We're supposed to live by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the imperative need of the word of God. We cannot have any hope without it. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How wonderful it is to have the word of God. How can you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth without the Bible? How can you do that? And we in America take that Bible for granted. Too much. But the rest of the world, most of them can't even get one. Even if they could afford one, they can't even get one. Most of them can't afford one. And how wonderful it is just to get the word of God out. It's the only hope for mankind. The only hope for the world. And so we just appreciate you so much. There are 8 more of these back in the foyer, and somebody can grab this one if they like. I'll just put it up here. This particular one's going to Papua New Guinea. I don't do that because I'm old. Do you feel the battle? Battle's going on right now. Hey, I've been blessed already. I trust you have also. I've got the victory. Sometimes I forget it, though. But I've got the victory. And I've got to remember, I've got the victory. But hey, the battle is waging right here. We don't see it, but it's happening. And there will be people here that should get saved this morning, but the devil will tell them, put it off. Do it in your own time. There are people here doing things they shouldn't be doing, and you need to repent, and you won't do it. There are people here that are not doing things they should be doing. And the devil would say, it's no big deal. You're just as good as anybody else. Don't do it. And I'm going to get into some very critical areas after a bit. And, hey, I hope you still love me. But hey, the Word of God is very explicit. And when we do the Word of God, it works. But hey, I'm sorry to say the devil is a master at working in churches. And so often we forget he's the second most powerful being in this world, in this universe. He has the wisdom of the ages. Only God surpasses him in wisdom and knowledge and power. But the devil is powerful. I'm not afraid of the devil. I'll tell you why after a bit. But I need to be aware of him and all his wiles, because he is a crafty old being. And so often we fail to remember how important it is just to realize the goodness of God and the power of God. How many of you took your pill this morning? All right, we might miss some of you, I'm sorry to say. But hey, I just thought it'd be something a little different, so I like to be different once in a while. I trust you do also. But so often what we fail to remember is things are real easy sometimes, but sometimes they are not. The red one, how many took a red one? Well, if the pill worked, you're wicked. How many took an orange one? If the pill worked, you're selfish. How many took a yellow one? If you took a yellow one, you're wise. How many took a green one? If you took a green one, you're giving. How many took a blue one? Yeah, a lot of them. Blue one, you're spiritual. How many took a brown one? If you took a brown one, you're foolish. And so often we say that, well, that's kind of stupid. Yeah, it is kind of stupid. But hey, you know, in an analogy, you know, what we eat spiritually does make a difference. It really does. And what we eat spiritually either makes us wise or foolish. It makes us wicked or right. And so often we just fail to remember what to eat. Is the devil real? The devil would love to have you think he's not. In fact, that's the propagation throughout our country. And the devil's not really. He's just a make-believe thing. You hear it time and time again. You hear all the professors say, that's just in the mind. Hell's not a real place. It's in the mind. Even some preachers in the past has even said that. It's not, you know, it's just in what you think and what you believe. But isn't it amazing the Word of God speaks twice as much about hell as heaven? And it depicts as a real place. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful? I know it won't happen, but wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all experience hell for about 2 seconds? With the chance to escape. But there is no chance to escape. Those people who are in hell today, some of them think they're going to have a second chance. I really believe that. According to Matthew chapter 7, he says, they say to God, haven't we done many wonderful things in your name? Have we not done these? We've cast out demons. We've done it. Good, God. And what is his reply? Depart from me. I never knew you. There are some people here that need to be saved. I don't care if you're a member of the church. Doesn't matter to me. You can fake it. I did it for 21 years. Knowing I was lost on my way to hell, everybody else thought I was saved. My wife, my children, the church family. But God knew. And I knew. And how foolish you are if you won't humble yourself before Almighty God, because he died on the cross of Calvary for you. And the devil's mastery is in religion. You look at the world, I mean, all the religions of the world, you got to work to get to heaven, with the exception of those that base their salvation upon the blood of Christ and the truth of God's word. And even all the denominations and all the cults in America Hey, you work hard enough, you'll get there. Well, may I say, God's word says, hey, you cannot work hard enough. It is only by the grace of God, only by his provision, only by him dying on the cross. As you're saying, it is finished. There is no other way. And so often we just fail to remember how good and how great God is. And the truth is, he died for my sin. He was buried and he rose again the third day. And my acceptance in him indeed guarantees me that someday I'll be with him forever in heaven. So often we, you know, hey, the devil doesn't like a sermon. I'm having a hard time keeping my thoughts together. I really am. And I knew it would when I started. Because the devil does not want exposed in any way, shape, or form. His names are many, over 40 different names in the Word of God or titles. Satan means he's your adversary. He's against you. Has the devil ever done anything for you? Ever done anything for you? How silly we are to choose him. Devil means slanderer. He slanders us. Abaddon, one of his titles, means he's a destroyer. Apollon's in the Greek. He wants to destroy. We have 7 children and 18 grandchildren. He wants to destroy every one of them. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy this church. He wants to destroy. And he knows how to go about it, too. Beelzebub means he's just worthless. And he is. He's worthless. No value to anything. And then the old dragon. Monster. But in Revelation, basically, it could be translated, he was a serpent that is fascinating. Now, if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, please. Very familiar passage. And many people depict the devil as very terrible looking, very reptilian, whatever the case may be, because he is described as a dragon, but he can transform himself to look like the very best thing out there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 15. Therefore, it is no... Oh, let's go back and forth to you, I'm sorry. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into what? An angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. He's got a lot of help. He is not omnipresent like God, or omnipowerful like God, or omniscient like God. But he's got one-third of the angels that fell at his disposal. He's got a lot of help. And he indeed knows how to really tempt us, how to do so many things. He is totally anti-God. And therefore, he's a liar. John 8:44 says he's the father of liars and a murderer. And Christ was talking to the Pharisees there, and he says, hey, you're his children. Yeah. And if you're here unsaved this morning, you're a child of the devil. Right. You say, well, I don't know whether I agree with that. Well, just disagree with the word of God. I can't do anything about that. Right. And what we need to understand is, hey, only by the grace of God can we be saved. But praise the Lord, we can be saved. When he said it, it is finished on the cross of Calvary. Right. Praise the Lord, the devil was defeated totally and completely. He not only lies, he murders, but he accuses. He accuses the brethren. Most of the time, he doesn't have to lie about that. I'm sorry to say. He deceives. He's a great deceiver. He creates doubt in our life. He tempts us in virtually every way possible. And we're vulnerable to temptation. The only way you can defeat temptation is by the wonderful Word of God. That's what Christ did. That's why it's important that you memorize the Word of God, that you know the Word of God, that you study the Word of God. Your pastor already mentioned, he's a great discourager. He'll say, oh, you messed up. You can't even be a service to God anymore. I'm glad God's a God of a second and third and sometimes fourth chance. I'm glad he's a God that's a cleansing God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad he's a God that loves me that much. Amen. He diverts our attention so easily. He defeats us so many ways. He says, put it off. Just put it off. Hey, don't be committed to the things of God. Now, your pastor is a pretty busy guy. He's tired right now. But he, I think, has the stamina and also the energy and the youth that if everybody got busy like they should in this church, he'd be okay. It wouldn't give him a heart attack. He'd be able to withstand that. You say, well, I'm busy. Why are you? I don't know. I know about 20% of most people, most congregations do most of the work. There are three types of people here. Some of them are doing the work. Some of them are watching the work to be done. And some of them don't care if the work is ever done. I trust that you are one of the first, that first one. Another wile of the devil is, hey, he wants to make us discontented. Not happy where we are. We always want something more. Isn't it amazing? All the rock stars, the movie stars, how much more they always want. The sports stars, more, 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 more. But they're never, ever satisfied. Yeah, I'm satisfied. And Paul said it best, whatsoever state therefore I am, I what? Will be content. Hey, are you happy with your life? If not, there has to be a reason why you're not happy. Maybe you're not resting in the Lord. Maybe you're not looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I don't know what your problem is, but I know that we indeed have a spiritual warfare going on. And it's happening here. And when it gets to the invitation, God, the Holy Spirit, is saying, you ought to do that. The devil said, no, put it off. Don't do it. What do people think? Doesn't matter what people think, does it? No matter what God thinks. And see, God already knows. And so often we look and say, is the devil really working in our churches? Well, just let me get into a couple things that get a little bit pressing tight on the shoes and the feet. He's a master of disguise. A master, he makes the packaging look so wonderful and so glittering and so good. Hey, abortion, is it murder, is it not? Or is it an unwanted tissue? Is it an embryo or a fetus? Is it the woman's right to choose or not? It has nothing to do with a woman's choice. It has a great deal to do with the sovereignty of God. And how wonderful it is. I mean, hey, there, a conception would never take without God.
Right.
And a lot of preachers even disagree with me on that. Well, what about rape and incest? What about it? I don't understand all the workings of God. I just know that conception doesn't happen without God.
Right.
And we say the woman has a choice. Well, I absolutely agree. The woman has a choice of her body. But that baby is not her body.
Right.
It's a complete individual. It's not a frog in there.
Right.
It's a human being.
Amen.
And hey, 30 years ago, I've been around a while now, 30, 40 years ago, you asked in a congregation like this, how many of you think abortion is murder? All hands would go up. Today, there's some hesitation. I don't know where you're at this morning on it, but hey, God's word is still very exact. It's already been mentioned about homosexuals. The Boy Scouts have caved it in. The Supreme Court's caved. We're in trouble, people. The attack is going to start big time. Hope I get a cell next to you, brother. Like, because one of these days, when we preach against it, we're going to be thrown in jail. Hey, don't hate them. Love them. Hate the sin, but never condone it. Don't say they have a right because they don't.
Right.
How stupid we are in America. And here we have this great economic crisis in America, which we do. How stupid we are. The poor spending is a big deal, but even with the poor spending, they hadn't killed the 60 million babies. They have about 120, 150 more people working and buying and supplying. how stupid we are. I was talking to the pastor this morning. Hey, they got to get rid of us old folks because we're bankrupting this country. And they will do it, too. Hey, I'm just saying, hey, that's fine. I'm ready to go. How about you? Young people, adults, is there such a thing as safe sex? Oh, I mean, we hear it all the time, don't we? Inside of marriage, yes.
Yes, sir.
Only inside of marriage.
Right.
Fornication and adultery is outside of marriage. The bread is undefiled. And we buy into that. You know, the failure rate in some contraceptives is 15%. And then the AIDS microcosms is, I think, 250 times smaller than what a sperm is. And we have the STDs and everything, and we say, I can avoid all that. Young people, you buy into the lie very easily. And some adults do also. He's a liar. We already talked about religion. Hey, how terrible what we do in some of our churches.
Yes, sir.
Our gossiping and unforgiveness. I'll get into that a little more in a little bit. I know, how many of you like Elvis in here? Come on, be brave. Elvis sang some good songs, didn't he? But he sure had an ungodly lifestyle. And sometimes we fall into the trap of the culture around us. And now we have the rock music, we have the rap. And I challenge some of you young people and some of you adults, go to a bookstore and read the lyrics without the music in some of these songs. It'll make you blush. But yet, many young people and Christian young people and adults listen to it. And the country music is not a whole lot better, most of it. What I'm saying is, hey, the devil's a master.
Oh, yes, sir.
Purity in our young people and adults. The sad reality is our young people in churches are just as sexually active as those outside of churches. You're a weirdo if you stay a virgin. It's a lie of the devil.
Right.
Hang on. How about modesty?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, we look pretty good this morning, don't we?
Sure.
Look like we're supposed to, right?
Right.
How are you looking at the beach? Boy, it got quiet there, didn't it? Wonder why it got quiet there. How can we be honoring to God by being immodest? But we've bought into the lie. I mean, that's what you should be. A macho man, an attractive young lady, or if that's what you've got to be accepted. No, you don't. And some of you young people have got to make a stand. Some of you adults have to make a stand and say, that's somewhere I'm not going to go.
Right.
I don't know what percentage of your church comes on Sunday night or Wednesday night. I know there's all kinds of different excuses and reasons, work, whatever. Most of the time we think, well, hey, I've done my share by coming Sunday morning. Got quiet there, too. You know, Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the unbelievers. Hey, you got to be here.
Sure.
Strength and unity.
Amen.
There's power in unity.
Amen.
And you think that you're going to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil by just a couple hours on a Sunday morning? And by the way, even on Sunday night and Wednesday night, it all helps, but it still isn't going to get the job done. You've got to be in the Word every day. Sometimes I go where angels are fear to tread. The divorce rate is just as bad in the church as what it is in the world. And I'm not picking on anybody that's divorced here. Hey, if you're divorced, hey, live for God and go on and serve God. But let's not fall into the trap of the thinking that's going on today. Hey, if it doesn't work, I can just try something else. And the church has bought into that. And we've gone downhill. I think it was in 1964, they went to no-fault divorce. Now we have half the children being raised by single parenting. And the welfare is escalating by the day. Because we've turned our back upon what God's Word says. And then we have this wonderful, wonderful thing. Authority. I'm a rebel at heart. How about you? I have that old Adamic nature. I want to do my own thing. Biggest problem I have in Christianity is me. First of all, we don't want to submit to God. We don't submit to God. We don't want to submit to our boss. We don't submit to God. We don't want to submit to our parents. Oh, I know you young people are more spiritual than that. But just once in a while, your mom and dad say, take out the trash, and you say, yeah, I'll do that. And tomorrow, the trash is still there. You had every intention of taking the trash out, but you wanted to do it in your own time. I know, you're all too spiritual, right, to do things like that. And we pacify ourselves on the shoulder and say, I'm as good as anybody else. I'm doing better than most. Yeah. You know, you can do the right things even. Amaziah. In 2 Chronicles, I think, 25, it says, it's recorded that he did right in the eyes of God. It's a pretty good statement, isn't it? But not with a perfect heart. You can go through the motions and do the right things and still not be right with God. And some of you are here like that today. And I see all this authority and say, hey, I rebel against it. But praise the Lord for the authority God has placed over us. Our government even. And sometimes I struggle praying for my government because they're doing a lot of things wrong right now. And even sometimes parents do things wrong, and you need to pray for them. But God never does anything wrong. And if he tells you something, you better do it. Because if you're saved and you don't do it, you're going to be chastised of God. And you're not being chastised of God when you're doing. When you're disobedient to what God's Word says, you better check up on your salvation. Amen. Can I go a little further? Since I'm hitting most things. I think at one time you lost some people in here over Facebook, if I remember right. Is Facebook all right? Or is it wrong? I know some of you are on it. It can be a good tool. It could be a bad tool. Just like the computer. Well, I tell you, there's a lot of Christian posting on Facebook that's ungodly. Christian teenagers are swearing on Facebook, posting pictures they shouldn't post. Adults are gossiping about one another. Idleness of talk just doesn't amount to anything, and they spend all this time. Young people, could you live a month without texting? You say, well, that's technology. That's wonderful. Yeah, it can be. But when you spend hours on a day texting, there's got to be a lot of stuff that's not right. Or just a waste of time. Hey. I'm just telling you where we live. We all struggle with it. We all have a real battle of following God. And we see all these things, and here, then we go to one great thing, and I'll try to get done here pretty quick. We go to one great thing that's taking our churches apart, And that's the computer and pornography. It's no different in the church than what it is outside the church. 1.5 million sites now of pornography that you can get into. I had a dear friend fall in pornography. Loved God. When they cleaned out his office after he fell, they just found volumes of videos and everything. What I'm saying is, hey, we're vulnerable. And it doesn't make any difference. You think that you can be above it. Remember, 1 Corinthians 10:12, man thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. You go to Ephesians chapter 4 very quickly, and I'll try to get done here. What a great passage. And we sometimes will just fail to realize the danger of the devil. Verse 27 says, neither what? Give place to the devil. And all the verses around them speaks about how you can do that. Corrupt communication proceeding out of your mouth, that's giving place to the devil. Getting angry and sinning about it, that's giving place to the devil. Grieving the Holy Spirit's even giving place to the devil. Bitterness. I know we don't have any bitterness in the house, do we? Yeah, we do. Wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking. We don't have any of those things, do we? Yeah, we do. See, I pastored a few years. You deal with that all the time in a church. And then verse 32, and I'll try to be quick. Oh, man, if Christians would just do verse 32, we'd have the victory. Be kind one toward another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. How dare we not forgive?
Right.
God's forgiven me so much. And I've talked to people throughout the years and say, well, they don't deserve forgiveness. They haven't asked for forgiveness. Doesn't make a dime's bit of difference.
Right.
I'm going to forgive them. I'm not going to be encumbered by that. I'm just going to go on and serve God. Yeah, we need to confront sin in love. But if they don't want to do anything about it, why should you worry about it? I'm just not going to deal with that. I've got too many other things to deal with. You know, we can either give the victory to the devil or claim the victory that God has already given us. It's been already magnified this morning. Hey, we have the victory. God has freely given us all things to be able to live properly, to stand right, to stand in the gap, to honor God, to glorify God.
Yes.
He's given it all. The problem that we have so often is choosing. Can I have the two Calebs up here very quickly? Now, here's two Calebs. Bright young people, aren't they? Good namesakes, right? You know what it says about Caleb in the Word of God? Why he was so special? Because he wholly followed the Lord. I trust that you are doing that. Okay, who wants to be wise and who wants to be foolish? He beat you. You got to be quicker than that. See, the wise person, you know, you do the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs talks about a path, the way, the course of life about 100 different times. You know, to be wise, it takes effort. There's two ways you get wisdom. What is it? Search for it and ask for it. James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth them not. Are you stupid, Caleb? The first Caleb. No, I didn't think you were, because you're wise. You can't be stupid if you're going to be wise. So therefore, you've got to ask God for wisdom, and then you've got to search God for wisdom. Wisdom is the wise person's foundation is what? First of all, Jesus Christ. And then the Word of God. If you were, let's say from that point to this point, there's a great chasm there and you wanted to build a bridge across it. You know, where would you build the bridge? What would you want on that side and that side? The foundation. I want the strongest rock that I can have. That's Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And then it's a very narrow path, this Christian walk that we have. And sometimes it gets a little tedious. So therefore, I want a guide, a strong line that I can hold on to keep my balance. Can you just portray that for them? Come on, hold it up there. You're holding on to the promises of God. You don't want to fall off of that thing. You want two of them, don't you? And see, he makes it across and gets to God. See, that promises of God is right. It keeps us on track. When you get outside those promises, you get off that beaten path and you're liable to fall and get hurt. Good job, Caleb Wise. You may sit down. Now we have Caleb Foolish. Caleb Foolish. Does he look foolish? No. He looks very astute. But this is make-believe, right? Okay, but here's Caleb Foolish, and he says, well, I got to get over there, but I don't have time to find a rock or anything, so I'm just going to, this sand looks okay, I'll put it here, sand on the other, and I'll just plop it over there. And then he tries to transverse this chasm. And his guide is self-righteousness. I can do it my own strength, my own balance. I've got it all together. I can just do it my own way. I can do it when I want it, where I want it, how I want it. And guess what happens to Caleb the Foolish? Come on, you got to fall off now. Attaboy. You say that's stupid. No, it's not. That's what we do. You see, we got to stay on the right path. We have a course to run. We have to run with patience. We've got to hang on to the Word of God for strength and guide based upon the foundation of my Lord. And so often, we just want to do it in our own way. And Solomon said it best. I mean, he lived his life like he wanted it. Man, he had so much and he let it all go. And he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Emptiness. My life is empty. And praise the Lord, he summed it up right. The sum of all things is to what? Obey God and keep his commandments. You see, we have a choice today. Our church is going through a battle. Our nation is going through a battle. Our home is going through the battle. The attack is severe and stronger each and every day. And if we're not careful, we will succumb to the devil. We will buy into his lie because he wants to de-emphasize, desensitize us against sin, make it acceptable. How many of you are over 60 in here? 30 years ago, remember what the church used to be? How many remember? Yeah. Is it the same today? What happened? We bought into the lie. And you ought to praise your Lord. Thank the Lord for a man of God that stands upon the Word and will preach honestly and strongly to you. But the devil will say, hey, now put it off. Now you can't do that. Now nobody cares anyway. He'll tell you all kinds of things. And hey, there are battles right now going on. Because God has spoken this morning. And some of you are saying, no, I'm not going to listen. Some of you may have already tuned off because you don't want to be submissive to God. You aren't about to do what God wants you to do. Well, that's your choice. Can't do anything about it. But you pay the price. Your family pays the price. All those around you pay the price. I want the victory. I want to live a peaceful, joyful life. God's been so good to me. A lot of people say, well, you walk funny. Big deal. God's been good to me. He saved me. I didn't deserve to be saved. He's given me a great family. I didn't deserve to have a great family. He's allowed me to serve him. And I think Paul wrote it best in 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20. What? Know ye not that you are, what? The temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Is that true? Is that really true? I'm not mine. I'm his. I really am. How about you? Are you really his? Do you act like it? Do you behave like that? He's a great master. He loves me like no other master has ever loved me. Provides for me like no other master has ever provided for me. Protects me like no other master has ever protected me. How dare I not be obedient to my master? He has bought me with his precious blood. And we say, I'm not about to be Lord under you, Jesus Christ. I'm on my way to heaven, praise God. But I can live like the rest of the world when I want to. Not being right with God, you can't. See, God is a just God. And a lot of Christians, they don't like this, but God comes down hard sometimes. And some of the payment you have for sin is something you don't want to pay. If we could all look down the road from the results of our sin, we'd say, no, I'm not going to do that. Because sometimes they're far-reaching effects. Some things you can't change. Praise the Lord will clean you up, but some things are still consequential. And we have this great battle going on. It's going on right now. Some of you young people need to confess to the Lord this morning. Some of you adults need to confess to the Lord. Some of you in here need to say, I need to be saved. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to humble myself before the Lord and get saved this morning. I'm not going to let the devil have the victory anymore. And I'm going to do it. Because I need to do it. It's the only hope that you have. The battle is real. It's taking place now. What choice are you going to make? Dear Lord, we thank you for this time. We now ask you, Lord, be with us in the invitation that, Lord, your will be done, and we'll see your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.